Luke knew me to be as real as his fellow Christians. You probably don't. The rest of Luke's stories are from the people he interviewed. Luke did not have to interview me. He was already very familiar with my story. The apostles were warned about me by Jesus. He constantly tormented and evicted my demons from the lives of people.
Luke portrays Satan as a spiritual being taking on a physical form. To the early Christians and New Testament writers, Satan was a real and dangerous enemy, not some kind of misbehaved comic book character as often characterized today.
In much of the modern world, mine is a pretty easy job. Only a small minority of people today believe I am real, so I can do almost anything I want with no backlash or response. But you know, I am still continually surprised how it is so easy to get people to accept evil as good and good as evil. I shouldn't be that surprised, though it has actually been fairly easy to cause that to happen in most times and places throughout history. In fact, most of the time it is so easy for me that it doesn't even count the spiritual warfare. Throughout all of time and in all places, I have had my way in the lives of many people. If you've read the Bible, however, you already know of the times it wasn't so easy for me. I didn't do so well in the Garden of Eden, until Eve listened to me and Adam listened to her. Job proved me wrong, causing me to lose a lot of influence in God's court. The first preacher, Noah, caused me a lot of trouble until that whole drunk episode. Moses and David were challenging. Just when I had them going my way, they would repent and turn to God. One time, the entire Jewish nation looked as if they were going to follow God, but that didn't last too long. I rarely tell the truth, unless it is to deceive somebody, but here is a fact. My job has been so easy that I give in to the temptation to get lazy. Few people have been able to stay faithful to God if I put even mild temptation in their way. They refuse to stay under the protection of God by being obedient and faithful to Him. And I can tell you from experience that even when God provides them a way out of temptation, not many choose to escape. You can probably see how I was lulled to sleep and missed the biggest threat to my work and the event that sealed my eventual doom. I'm still so angry about it that I go into rages and try to destroy everything and everyone that I can. Time doesn't have a lot of meaning to me. But about 2,000 years ago, things were seemingly going my way. God and I had coexisted for countless eons. On Earth, mankind was following a destructive path that I appreciated and encouraged. On every continent, people worshipped pagan gods or me. With the exception of the Jews, direct knowledge of God was non-existent. Even to those few Jews, it seemed as if God had forgotten mankind. Frankly, it made sense to me that God would have given up on mankind. The world had gotten to where the intentions of most people were to do evil all the time. They'd either forgotten God, ignored God, or couldn't see Him even in the nature of the magnificent world He had created. They had given up on God, and I thought He had given up on them. I was badly mistaken. A young teen in a nowhere village in the nowhere country of Israel got pregnant out of wedlock. Yet another sign that the Jews' God-focused culture was in decline. I didn't take notice when she didn't discard her baby on a trash heap or get an abortion like so many of the Roman women did. I didn't even take notice when her village chose not to stone her and her jilted fiancé chose to marry her anyway. Those were tiny details that seemed to make no difference. Many pregnant teens have expressed innocence and can't believe that they are pregnant. I figured she was lying like the rest. The fact that the child grew up obeying his parents and loving God didn't distinguish him terribly from the other Jewish boys. In fact, I was more worried about that child's cousin, John. From the beginning, John called for people to repent of their sins and change their lives. That was cause for concern by me, because once people understand they are sinning, sometimes they choose to stop. Once people realize they are ignoring God, they choose to quit ignoring Him. The very fact that John could so easily bring these people to their senses made him a threat. So I put into motion a plan whereby the authorities would kill him. End of story. It was relatively simple to do so because some people react so violently when they are brought to account for their sins. It was only a short time before Herod Antipas had John's head on a on a platter. By the time John was executed, I realized the biggest mistake of my long life. I had been focusing on John, while I should have been focusing on Jesus. I watched John's disciples move over to Jesus. I saw Jesus become filled with the Holy Spirit, and I recalled how Jesus' mother insisted that she had been miraculously impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And I felt a fleeting speck of doom, a feeling that was to quickly intensify. Jesus was baptized, and then he went into the vast beige wilderness to prepare for his future by praying and fasting for 40 days. I knew he would be getting supernatural powers by praying to God, by being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, so I started harassing him and did not stop. At the end of 40 days, he was in a famished state. I gave him two challenges: to change a stone into bread and to prove himself to be the Son of God. I knew he could easily change the stone into bread, and I knew he could resist that urge. I didn't think he could resist the prideful act of proving himself to be the Son of God. After all, his ancestor David was easily convinced by me to prove his independence from God by taking a census. By refusing to be prideful, he was going to be a tough nut to crack. I decided to up the ante and see how humble he was. I took him in a vision to a high place where he could see all the kingdoms of the world. I literally offered him the kingship of all earthly kingdoms if he would worship me. That was not an empty offer, and he knew it. I could have given him all those earthly kingdoms, but with one scripture quotation, he put me in my place. It is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." When Jesus didn't take up those two offers, I knew I had a worthy adversary on my hands. He was not to be as easily deceived as other humans. I saw his reliance on Scripture to avoid the temptation, so I tried using Scripture as a subterfuge. I took him to the Southwest Tower on the Temple Mount, which was the highest point. I challenged him to throw himself down so the angels could rescue him before he hit the ground. Not only would that prove he was the Son of God, but it would be done in front of thousands of people who would immediately begin to worship him. Once again, he refused to thwart God's long-term plan and quoted a scripture back to me that was so final that I left him to work on a different game plan. He resisted me, and I had no choice but to flee, to wait for a more opportune time. I rule the earth through my deceptions and my temptations. Even though you Americans refuse to recognize it, I am very powerful. But I am not nearly as powerful as God. I am not all-knowing, and I am not all-powerful. If I were, I would have known that the beginning of Jesus' ministry was the beginning of my end. The all-knowing God must have taken some satisfaction as he revealed my future to me over the next 3 years. A future that is still coming to pass. My doom began to be revealed immediately. Jesus began to cast my demons out of people. Demons who had ruled people's lives by tormenting them and by lowering their resistance to temptation. Demons who had been able to get people to worship me, even to the point of killing their own babies. When I lost control of my demons, I knew what was in store. My end. Jesus preached over the next 3 years, and I began to understand how complete my defeat and demise would be. Panicked, I struggled to find a survival plan and came up with a brilliant one. I decided to use God's people to destroy God's Son. When Jesus was dead, all would go back to normal. It was simple to steer the religious leaders into hating Jesus. I fueled their self-righteousness and they hardened their hearts. Even more damaging, I orchestrated opportunities for them to be embarrassed by Jesus in public. Within a short period of time, they made plans to kill him. Once they intended to kill him, it was easy. One of Jesus' own apostles took the bait and betrayed him. Days later, Jesus was dead and my troubles were over. I had defeated the God of the universe. I threw a party that no human could match. I won't admit to a hangover, but I was in a bit of a daze when one of my demons gave me the bad news. God raised Jesus from the dead. I knew that I had actually aided God in his redemption plan for all mankind. I had fallen into his trap because of my pride. That was a horrible time for me. But it was going to get worse. Much worse. Jesus was going to replace himself with the Holy Spirit. And his spirit would enable his followers to have powers to resist me that I could not overcome. I knew I could not withstand the power of Holy Spirit, but what I didn't foresee was how Holy Spirit would wield his power through the church. The church. God had this secret weapon all planned and he sprung it on me. I was engulfed in a trap from which I could never escape. The church is a primary reason I am to be ultimately destroyed by Jesus. Well, I know my ultimate fate. Cast into hell for an eternity, along with my demons. That is going to happen, and I cannot deny it. But before I go, I will do as much damage as I can to you and your family and your friends. I want as much company as I can get. Realize that threat is not empty. I am the ultimate adversary. I have tremendous powers of persuasion and temptation. However, even I cannot withstand God. And for some reason that I cannot fathom, God is patient and doesn't want any of his precious humans to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. As one of my former victims, Peter, wrote, The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything is to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. My job is to keep you from living like that, not wanting to speed the day of my destruction. The good news? No. For me, anyway. It's becoming easier and easier to keep people from leading holy and godly lives. No longer do I use stone or wooden idols. No longer do I rely on the use of desire for great riches. My new strategy: just eliminate the desire people have to be holy and godly. I don't need them to desire to be sinful and hateful. I just need them to be complacent and distracted. It's proving much easier than I expected. I started out with some simple entertainments. Those proved so successful that I moved on to more powerful distractions, traps, if you will. Internet, video on demand, smartphones, social networks. I just love it that now the average human spends hours a day just watching screens. Believe me, it's not the screens or technology any more than idols of the past were bad because they were wood or stone. It's the value placed on them. The devotion, the attention, the time, both quality and quantity, that's what makes an idol. I make an immense headway. Individuals are becoming isolated from each other. Families are being destroyed. Many people know they can be saved by calling on the name of the Lord, but fewer and fewer are even bothering because they are so distracted by unimportant things. I feel like I am back on a roll. I'm feeling good. But I can't shake the sense of impending doom.